The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And as far as following the money, did you get that far down the investigative track?
Concerning Hunter Biden, I feel like we have a very good grasp on the income flows, yes.
And is it millions?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. It was around $8.3 million from 2014 to 2019.
And as far as the president's involvement in that?
So that's kind of the crux of one of the issues here, is that we weren't allowed to ask questions about Dad. We weren't allowed to ask about the big guy. We weren't allowed to include certain names and document requests and search warrants. So, we were precluded from following that line of questioning.
What is the line of communications between Hunter Biden and his business partners and Joe Biden when he's vice president of the United States? It's not the government phone. It's not Joe Biden's personal phone. We know from the laptop that Hunter Biden's business paid for a private phone line that Joe Biden used while he was vice president. It was from AT&T. It was $300 a month. It was a global phone where you could access somebody anywhere around the world.
And so between the Garland IRS stuff, Comer and more payments, and this guy was using a secret cell phone paid for Hunter. I don't even know where to begin, John.
Well, I'll tell a story. I never told this story before. Only my editors at the Hill knew this back in 2019. I early on got some documents from the Hunter Biden laptop, by the way, and one of those documents got leaked to me, and it had a cell phone number that Hunter Biden was paid for. So I figured, well, this is my chance. Maybe I can. I've been trying to get fair comments from Hunter Biden, so I'm going to call the cell phone. So I called the cell phone, and guess who picked up the phone?
Oh boy,
Joe Biden.
Joe
Biden.
What?
Boy, was he shocked when he got when he picked up the phone and found out it was me. He hung up pretty quickly.
Go ahead.
It was funny. I realized, my God, that's not Hunter. Is this the vice president? And he said, I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. And he hung up. So
Joe Biden was setting up meetings, and Joe Biden was in meetings, and Joe Biden delivered. That's when Hunter would demand payment. The cracked out bagman for the VP. This kickback scheme was so blatant that the entire federal government knew about it. It went down right under Barack Obama's nose. It could have taken down his presidency, because let's be honest, Obama was briefed on it, had to have been briefed.
And it was around $8.3 million he received.
From who?
They came from China, from CEFC, came from Ukraine and from Romania.
But Joe Biden is compromised. Can you believe that it was just announced? This is, to me, one of the hardest of all. That military installations are currently being built in Cuba, just 90 miles off our coast, and Biden isn't doing anything about it. He's not saying he can't, because they've been paying him off, and they know how they've been paying him off. They will reveal that, and that'll be the end of his presidency. I think even the fake news won't be able to cover that one up.
And we've been touching on that these past few programs, the fact that CBS, the New York Times, they're coming around. They're covering this, the fact that Joe Biden is compromised. And of course, as Jesse did there, you've got to add Barack Obama, the dear leader, to the mix as well. He too was compromised when president and is being exposed today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us today for the show on, what is this, Thursday? We've only got a couple more shows left in this fast-moving week. You can get to the live stream of this on our website, which is back up and running, or at least the live stream service is available today at trumpetdaily.com. So you can go to trumpetdaily.com to watch the show live or to see it after the fact. And it was fun yesterday to see so much more activity on the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble and search for the Trumpet Daily. You can join in on the live chat during the show, and of course you can leave comments, and don't forget to give us the thumbs up on the show as well. That's at Rumble. Search for the Trumpet Daily. Lots to get to on today's show. Before we do launch into it, I just want to mention that tonight, another performance of Celtic Throne. We've got some feedback, not quite as much as we usually get because we had to leave so quickly Monday evening from the show in Raleigh. But we do have a little bit of feedback from that show. We'll play that for you later on today's show. But tonight, Louisville, there's already 600 a nice gathering. I think there's going to be quite a few Irish dancers that are there as well. A school bought a lot of tickets for their dancers, so it'll be an exciting evening. I forget the name of the hall. It's right here on my cheat sheet. The Brown Theater, Louisville, Kentucky. Just go to CelticThrone.com. CelticThrone.com, and you can find the yellow tab to take you through to the theater so that you can purchase some tickets right here at the last minute before the show this evening. Sunday, of course, they'll be in Nashville, the beautiful, the iconic Ryman Theater. That's Sunday evening in Nashville, and of course, the day after that, the troupe makes their way home on Monday. But there are two final performances here in Edmond at beautiful Armstrong Auditorium. So you can get to tickets for any of these final four shows at CelticThrone.com. That whistleblower, Shapley, he mentioned that between that in that five-year period, there was about $8.3 million funneled into Hunter Biden's account. And you can be sure, that by the time they find all the evidence, it's going to be well into the tens of millions. The $8 million doesn't fund, you know, the baby mama, the crack addiction, the prostitution rings, all of the mansions spread all over the world. We're talking about a lot more money at play here. This is from the New York Post just today. It says overseas payments to Biden family could exceed $40 million, says Comer. This was organized crime. Let's call it what it is. The article says members of President Biden's family may have accepted in excess of $40 million from foreign nationals in exchange for favorable policy decisions. These people are compromised, as President Trump said in his speech earlier this week. They're compromised. They're selling policies to America's adversaries. And like President Trump pointed out, I mean, China knows how much to pay and what it will get in return. And it's been happening for years. No wonder China was working together with Fauci and company to destroy Donald Trump, to destroy any opportunity for him to have a second term. It says here the Kentucky Republican said that his panel has identified six specific policy decisions where Biden took actions that indicate he may have been compromised. They know the money's coming in. They're getting the wire transfer documents. Now they're looking, or they're linking it to at least, and how many more are there when it's all said and done, but at least six policy decisions that Joe Obama sold to America's adversaries. It says here, Comer noted that the six policy decisions, that of the six, four of them were made while Joe Biden was president early on. This has continued. I mean, he probably still has the phone, the global phone that Solomon talked about. I think that story from Solomon goes back to 2019. But here he calls the phone. You know the phone number because of the Hunter laptop. He calls the number, and the big guy answers. The big guy answers, the same guy that can hardly formulate a coherent sentence. But he's got the phone for the Biden crime family business. He's got the phone to sign off on all the decisions. Pay to play. It says here, where we cannot come to any other conclusion as to why these decisions were made, other than the fact, this is Comer, other than the fact that this president is compromised. Comer says, this was organized crime. There's no other way to define it. It's an organized crime family. Joe Obama. And they're not the only ones in on it. There's quite a few Republicans who are on the take as well. This is brought out in Peter Schweizer's book. So many of them are sellouts. Look at all these powerful families in D.C., the Romneys, the McConnells. They want Trump out of the way because they want a return to the status quo. They want a return to all these slush funds just flowing in and out of Washington, D.C. I mean, that's the richest area in the world. D.C. and the area around it. Well, how do these people get so fabulously wealthy? How did the Biden crime family get all of these mansions all over the world? They want to go after Donald Trump. I saw where Chris Christie said that Trump, he shouldn't be going out and campaigning for president. He's a billionaire. He should pay for everything himself. It's so easy for them to criticize Trump, who sacrificed a lot of his wealth, a lot of his estate, just to serve as president. And then he gets in there and he doesn't even take a salary. And Chris Christie has the gall to criticize Trump for being, you know, taking money away from the middle class. Who's taking money away from the middle class? It's the Uniparty, the establishment. It's the Biden people. How sickening to hear them go on and on yesterday about how wonderful the economy is. Every single one of them. They just get out there and lie. I'll play the montage for you here in just a second. But be assured, it's more than $8 million we're talking about. That's just chump change. Tens of millions, and it's still flowing into the family. And you've still got Hunter as Joe Biden, the big guy's right-hand man. He's the smartest guy Joe's ever met. He said so. And here he's addicted to crack cocaine. When so many of these latest revelations happened back in 2019, the WhatsApp message and whatever else, the shakedown, the drug addict, it fits perfect, doesn't it? He's part of the crime family. And that family is rife with drugs and sexual perversion. That's the truth. And it's finally being exposed. Listen to this again from Jesse last night, number four.
So they make up leads with Trump and then avoid leads with Biden. And the New York Times today verified that Biden's Justice Department obstructed justice in the Hunter Biden investigation. Biden was never supposed to be crooked. That was Crooked's job. Joe was supposed to be the honest Amtrak commuter from Scranton. Now, if America found out middle class Joe wasn't really the poorest member of Congress all these years, that punctures the biggest myth in Washington. If Joe Biden's a phony, everybody else is a phony. If Washington, D.C. could push that lie for decades, what else are they lying about?
That's a good question. What else? How many other lies are there? Remember this issue of the trumpet? How much fakery is out there? How much phoniness? It's on display every day. I mean, how audacious to basically fire tens of millions or at least millions of people because of the scamdemic, the lockdown measures, and then you finally begin to lift all these restrictions and people finally can return to work. And then you've got the Biden people out there congratulating themselves. Look at how many jobs we've created. You've created these jobs? They're out there saying the economy, it's never been better. This is montage number one.
And guess what? Bidenomics is working. Today, the U.S. has the highest economic growth rate, leading the world economies since the pandemic, the highest in the world.
But Joe Biden has a tremendous economic record to run on. 13.1 million jobs created. U.S. consumer confidence, talked about that. It's at a 17-month high.
If you actually ask people about the components of Bidenomics specifically, you get poll numbers that are north of 70%, which in this partisan world is kind of unheard of.
Bidenomics is proving that we can invest in the American people while reducing the deficit, which fell a record $1.7 trillion in the president's first 2 years in office.
You've seen wages go up in this country? You have felt that immediately. That is a game changer in your family.
When you think about how Americans feel better about their personal finances, that is important. When you think about wages are going up, when you think about the really good paying, millions of good paying jobs.
You know, the American people have seen the huge successes. They're just starting to feel them, but they really need to understand why. Why is it that Joe Biden feels so strongly about transforming this economy so it works for the middle class?
He is, if you will, reimagining how we should build an economy, transforming how an economy should look like.
The only truth in that montage is what was said there at the end, a fundamental transformation. Here he is reimagining how an economy should work. But the lies before that, all of the lies, we've reduced the deficit $1.7 trillion. Congress, including the Republicans, just gave him $6 trillion for this year. That's $2 trillion more added to the debt. $2 trillion in deficit spending. And then the one guy saying that 70% of Americans fully support and are happy with Bidenomics? It's unbelievable. The one lady saying that consumer confidence, it's at a 17-month high. Wow. That's a year and a half. That's not even going back that far. You saw how the economy just imploded practically as soon as Biden gets in there. And now it's, you know, the approval is upping just incrementally. And she's there saying, yeah, it's the best in 17 months. How about that? How many more lies are out there? You can see how they manipulate and massage the statistics to just basically say, hey, it's all perfect. It's the way they always operate. It's how they operated after the election steal. It's the way they responded to the January 6th Fed surrection. They just create the narrative and they go out and they find the facts, quote unquote, to go with it. They perpetuate the lies. This is from the USA Today. You don't even have to scratch very, very far beneath the surface to get to some truth with respect to the economy and how Americans are feeling about it. It says, everything costs so much. Food is high, gas is high. It's really hard for me. A 40-year-old Goodyear employee at Goodyear said after a recent 14-hour workday, I can only imagine what people with a family and kids must be going through. Here's a single man. What about family living? It says, as Americans look ahead to another Independence Day and a likely contentious 2024 presidential election, many are feeling fiscal pain as the prices of food, shelter, health care, and transportation climb higher than their paychecks. It says here about 52% of Americans participating in a USA Today poll said the United States is too expensive to live in. That's over half. It's too expensive to live here. I mean, it's no problem. The expense are in and around D.C., that's no problem. The skyrocketing costs there, the cost for a large house into the millions and millions. Because, I mean, there is no better job insofar as security and rising pay than working for the federal government. It's a swamp, like Donald Trump says. About 7 in 10 Americans said stifling inflation and the economy are the nation's top problems today. 7 in 10. There's your 70%. And yet the Biden guy comes out there and says, well, hey, if you just ask the question a little bit differently, you're going to find that 70% approve of Biden's economy. Really? How many people believe that? It says here, a majority across age, gender, and race told Pew that inflation is a very big problem. What's America's economic state? Frustrating and uncertain. The typical American household spends about $768 more on monthly purchasing goods and services these days compared to 2020, just 3 years ago. Americans are spending almost $1,000 more, it says, per month, just on basic necessities because of Joe Obama. Because Barack Obama has among other things, he's fundamentally transformed the economy. says, meanwhile, as the U.S. skirts a recession, Zandi said some Americans seeking relief are also dipping into their savings for survival. Around 25 million Americans are behind on their credit card, auto loan, or personal loan payments, according to a recent Moody's Equifax data analysis. It says also the delinquency rate for bank credit cards was 3.27% in May, nearly 2 points higher than in 2021. People can't make their payments. People are going broke because of oppressive inflation statistics, inflation that just keeps going up and up and up. It's all part of the fundamental transformation. Listen to Donald Trump's take on this, as he calls it, this mess, clip six.
The USA is a mess. It's a total mess. Our economy is crashing. Inflation is out of control. China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea have formed together in a menacing and destructive coalition. Not even believable that Russia and China would be together. They're natural enemies because of their land. They're natural. Joe Biden and Obama pushed them together. No reason for it. Amazing that it happened, but now they're together, and it is menacing. Our currency is crashing and will soon no longer be the world standard, which will be the greatest defeat that we've had in 200 years.
We've been talking about this at thetrumpet.com for years, for decades even. The collapse of the American currency, the U.S. dollar. And Donald Trump sees it's coming. I mean, he's a businessman. He sees where this is headed. All it takes, think back to the articles by the late Tim Thompson, saying that all it takes is for the lenders abroad to demand their money back, to stop borrowing from the United States. I mean, the only reason it's even staying afloat is because we're just printing money. Republicans and Democrats, they all love to print money. They all love to get money from China, from Romania, from Ukraine. They're all filthy rich. The Pelosis, the Romneys, the McConnells, certainly the Bidens. Definitely the Obamas. I saw one of Shapley's statements where he said that the statute of limitations, there was $400,000 coming into Hunter's account from Burisma back in that, I think it was the 2015 time period. $400,000. And Shapley says the statute of limitations passed on that in December of just last year. So the IRS can't even get its cut from that $400,000. Think of it. They're adding tens of thousands of IRS agents so that they can come after those people, you, the ones that can't afford to pay for groceries or to pay the credit card bill. And meanwhile, Hunter skates free. Hunter gets a sweetheart plea deal. Hunter, how many more millions is, as of now, undetected? It's unbelievable that this is happening in the United States of America. Here you have a president who, as Jesse rightfully points out, is a complete and total phony. They lied about his, you know, he's just an ordinary American, never was wealthy, just spent time as a lowly senator for many, many years. And then they get him in there on a sham of an election, and people are seeing him break down physically, mentally. They noticed, some of these reporters this week noticed, the indentations on his face, the strap marks. You can see it there along his cheek. And then we learn now that I guess it's because of sleep apnea, so he has to wear a device. And, you know, he's coming out in mid-morning for a speech. Seems like the indentations would only be there if he was just getting up out of bed not that long ago. I'm not putting the man down. I'm just giving you the reality of what's happened. And then he's off to Camp David or he's off to Delaware every weekend. And now Hunter's right there with him. They probably got the $300 per month phone on them. How much work are they actually doing for the country? Fundamental transformation. This is exactly the way Barack Obama wants it. Here's CBS reporting on the sleep apnea, clip two.
The White House today announced that President Biden is using a device for his sleep apnea. An official said the president has been using a CPAP machine, which stands for continuous positive airway pressure, in order to help improve his breathing during sleep. The information came after reporters noticed these indentations on the president's face this morning caused by the apparatus.
So he's wearing a device so he can get better sleep. But here again, with all the phoniness and fakery, are they lying about anything? Have they had a history of lying about things? Supposing it is what they're reporting. This is from the Cleveland Clinic. It says the connection between sleep apnea and cognitive decline has long been suspected, but researchers recently confirmed that those who had sleep disordered breathing had an earlier onset of mild cognitive impairment compared with people who didn't suffer from OSA. It says, what's more, other studies have shown those with sleep apnea were diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment on average of 10 years earlier than people without sleep breathing problems. And numerous other studies have made the connection between sleep apnea and dementia. So there you go. They'll talk about the sleep apnea. They won't talk about the dementia or the cognitive decline, but everybody's seeing it. Everybody's watching it happen in real time. And then, as I said on yesterday's show, some of them still, Tucker pointed this out, they still speak about the next election. Supposing Biden runs for re-election, they speak with confidence because they've been able to steal it before. They've manipulated the machines before. They've got tens of thousands of mules to stuff ballot boxes. Cheat their way to victory, just like they did in 2020. We'll see what happens next year. Amid all of this and the attacks on Trump, this fraud, this phoniness, this fakery that's there in D.C., the swamp. And then you have the never-ending attacks on Donald Trump. And the media, for their part, the regime media, they just cannot understand why his popularity continues to skyrocket. This is the Washington Post. Twice indicted Trump dominates GOP race as support for DeSantis stalls. This is kind of a funny headline. He's been indicted. Did you hear he's been indicted? Twice. And he dominates. He's dominating the GOP. And you get Paul Ryan and others out there, the rhinos, running Fox News, by the way, the rhinos out there saying Trump can't win, as if DeSantis can or Nikki Haley can. These people, they're delusional. They're ignoring. They're ignoring so much of the fakery, the phoniness, the lies, the deception coming from Joe Obama. They ignore the fact that the guy on the other side is unbelievably popular. It says, facing newly combative opponents, millions of dollars worth of competing advertising, and two indictments, Trump is in a dominant position in the GOP presidential race halfway through 2023. He has a wide lead on the competition poll show. He draws enthusiastic crowds. I saw Steve Cortez. He flipped over to the rhino side not that long ago. He was talking about, yeah, the crowds. There's just not as much energy as there was in 2016. How do you even compare any of Trump's? That's what they have to go back and compare it to, I guess, when he first came down the escalator. Because if you compare his crowds today in 2023 with Nikki Haley, with Tim Scott, with any of them in the field, Joe Biden, what kind of crowd do you think he's drawing? He just starts up his campaign season with speeches on the wonderful economy, and everyone knows he's lying. It says here, DeSantis, who once ran more competitively against Trump in the polls, doesn't look as threatening after slipping to a distant second and then stalling out. The non-Trump vote is splintered and surveying a crowded field of alternatives, according to interviews with voters in this state and elsewhere. The Washington Examiner, Trump keeps getting stronger, plus 38 over DeSantis, and he now leads Biden. Call him the flak jacket former president. Under fire from all corners, Donald Trump continues to tower over Republican challengers. 38% lead. Listen to his address. This is before Oakland County Republicans in Michigan a few days ago. Donald Trump, clip 7.
They want to destroy our country. Nobody can understand it. Nobody can understand why. If these corrupt persecutions succeed, they will complete their takeover of this country, and they will destroy your way of life and the United States of America forever. It will be forever destroyed. It will never be able to come back from that. That's why this is the most important election we've ever had.
Yes, fundamental transformation. It's actually destruction. That's what Obama's aim is, and he sees it. He's the one man who sees where this is headed. All the rest, think about the rhinos. Paul Ryan, you have to know, deep in his heart of hearts, he would rather have Biden for a second term, and by that, it would be Obama for his fourth. He would rather have Biden in there than ever see Trump come back. He just hates Trump. He despises Trump. Why? What did Trump do to drive the country into the ground? It's the radical left that's doing that. And Trump has the courage to stand up to him. Listen to clip 13.
This election will be the end of the world for the corrupt political class in our nation's capital. And I now know them. You know, I had experience like nobody has had experience. When I went to Washington, I was there 17 times, it was reported. Never slept over, never stayed over. It wasn't my place. It wasn't my world. But it's my world now. I got to know it better than anybody. I know the good ones. I know the weak ones, the bad ones. I know the strong ones. I know them all. I know the smart ones. I know the dummies. We got great people, and we've had great. Look, we rebuilt our military. We largest tax cuts in history for this country. We did so much, and we had great people. But we had some people that I wouldn't have used.
He's learned a lot. He's seen a lot. Used to be he didn't even want to stay overnight in D.C., but these past 7 years, of course, the 4 years he was in the White House, he knows what they're all about. He knows how the deep state works. He knows which ones are on the side of America and which ones are not. And as far as D.C. goes, I mean, the ones loyal to the Constitution, they're heavily outnumbered by the insurrectionists, by all of the treasonous operators throughout that city. One more clip, just move along to number 14.
For 7 years, you and I have been fighting side by side to rescue our country from evil and from the sinister forces who hate it. I believe they hate it, and I believe they actually want to destroy it. Now we're approaching the most important battle of our lives. As we gather today, our beloved nation is teetering on the edge of tyranny. I believe that, and you believe that. Our enemies are waging war on faith and freedom, on science and religion, on history and tradition, on law and democracy, on God Almighty himself. They are waging war. That's not a war they're going to win.
An attack on God, even. Some strong statements there from the president. He's been active. Did you know he's been indicted twice? And then he hits the road, and people turn out in droves. I have to leave you with the funniest story of the week. This is from Reuters. It says here, America's family secret. In addition, President Joe Biden and every living former U.S. president except Donald Trump are direct descendants of slaveholders. All of them. Direct descendants of slaveholders. It says Jimmy Carter, George Bush, Bill Clinton, and through his white mother's side, Barack Obama. Trump's ancestors came to America after slavery was abolished. Trump's got no one in his ancestry associated with being a slaveholder. All the others do, including Obama, the dear leader. I mean, you have to think that as God was laying the groundwork for some of these prophecies to be fulfilled in these last days, many, many years ago, decades ago even, you have to think God had a bit of a sense of humor. Trump's the only one. Look at how Business Insider spins this. It says, despite this, Trump has a long history of defending symbols of the Confederacy. So he's racist. He's the only one that doesn't descend from slaveholders, but be assured, Business Insider says he's still a racist. It says here, as president, he resisted the renaming of U.S. military bases that had been named after Confederate generals. He resisted this. He just wanted to keep the names the way they were. That's racist. He also once infamously declared that there were very fine people on both sides of a clash involving white nationalists in Charlottesville. He specifically said during that speech, with which everyone and their dog twists and distorts, he specifically said, I'm not talking about white nationalists here. They should be condemned. He was talking about the ones on this side that wanted to keep the statues up because of America's history. And then the ones over here that wanted to tear them down. Good people on both sides, but I'm not talking about white nationalists, he stressed. Look at the dishonesty on full display. Even years after it was exposed, this lie. Here we've got a phony president, as Jesse Waters brought out. If you've got a phony president, how much else are they lying about? This is from Spiked Online. It says, during a podcast interview, well, it talks about Obama's interview with David Axelrod. We played some clips of that not that long ago. But if I can just fast forward it a bit. It says, before signing off from the show, Obama went on to describe black and other ethnic minorities as rightly skeptical of positive racial messages like those of Senator Scott. Obama took a swipe at Scott because he's black and he's a Republican. So he's a sellout in Obama's eyes. And for Scott to say, I love America, you know, Obama doesn't like that because he hates America. It says, beyond the sheer bizarreness of a former national leader describing his own country as a racist hole, Obama is just plain wrong. Evidence shows that it is simply not true that non-white Americans can't make it in the U.S. Obama's cannot succeed claim is strange given the reality of modern America and given his own background and path through life. Simply put, Obama is not a descendant of American slaves. So his ancestors are connected to being slaveholders, and then he himself, he's not a descendant of slaves. His mother was an upper middle class white woman from Kansas, and his father was a prominent Kenyan economist. Obama grew up primarily in well-off enclaves, such as in upscale districts of Hawaii's Honolulu and Indonesia's Jakarta. Young Obama was surrounded by other wealthy non-white groups and expats. While this might be a little politically incorrect to say out loud, watching him try to explain the U.S. black experience to Scott, Tim Scott, a scion of the Carolina cotton country, borders on the surreal. I mean, Tim Scott comes from the Carolinas, the South. And here you've got the dear leader who's been a product of privilege from the very beginning. And he's the one out there lecturing America on race, stirring up division and strife, saying that America, you just can't make it if you're a minority. You can't make it. That's the message coming from the dear leader. Talk about a phony and a fraud. He's just like Biden. You got this many phonies out front. And what else, as Jesse said, what else are they willing to lie about, to deceive you over? It's endless. Just goes on and on and on. When we come back, well, let me just conclude the segment here with Donald Trump again from a few days ago as to what his movement is going up against. This is clip 15.
This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. And we will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will defeat crooked Joe Biden. We will liberate America from these villains once and for all.
They're all villains, he says. no let up in that man as he goes forward in this fight. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a short Bible study. We've also got some feedback from the Raleigh show, Celtic Throne, from Monday, and another article I wanted to go through quickly as well as a lead-in to the study. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
All right, let's start with the there's only about 30 seconds, and the only reason for this is because Sam and I had to get out of the theater so quickly at the end of the performance on Monday night to go travel home. But this is a little bit of feedback from Raleigh a few days ago, clip 16.
We are just blown away. It's so awesome. The theatrics, the dancing, the singing, it is amazing. We love it.
We're all dancing together. The ground literally shook. As they were dancing as one, it was amazing.
Everything is amazing. Like, I'm just beaming. Like, I almost feel like crying and smiling and, like, happy crying. My son is beaming the whole time, and my husband's part Irish, so this everything is amazing. Yeah, like, I want to come here, like, every night. No, I'm serious. Like, I could see this, like, yeah, every single day of the week.
Hopefully we can get a little more feedback for tonight's show. That would be in Louisville, as I said at the top of the show. Already more than 600 people scheduled to attend that performance. We're coming down to the home stretch of the Celtic Throne Tour. Louisville tonight, Nashville Sunday, and then you've got two Sunday performances after that for the next three Sundays, the last two being here in that beautiful Armstrong Auditorium. Just go to Celtic Throne .com and you can order your tickets today. I believe the first Sunday one at Armstrong Auditorium is up to about 740 ticket sales thus far, so just 80 or 90 seats left for that particular show. This is from I forget where it comes from, but it's an article, why today's teenagers are so unhappy. Why so much unhappiness and misery? I mean, this is not just limited to the teen demographic, but more and more young people, they've got all of the devices. So many of them have money in their pockets. They're into the culture, the fashion, the trends, the music, the movies. And many of them are unhappy. It says kids these days, they do seem different. It's not just that we, the older generations, are worried about them, but that they're desperately worried about themselves. Almost 30% of American girls have clinical depression, and it's the same across the Anglosphere. It's happening in Israelite nations. 30% of teenage girls struggling with depression? Why? This hardly gets any attention, these kinds of stories. And yet the numbers are just increasing. They were made especially bad because of the lockdowns. People holding up in their homes because of the communist governments imposing their will. people lost their jobs by millions and millions. Who knows how it affected the young people with respect to education? It says here, some of the most astonishing data in generations also show that Generation Z in America, at least, genuinely think that they live at the most misogynistic, racist time in history. Well, that's what they've been taught. That's what the Dear Leader teaches. That's what the Dear Leader is out there preaching. Missing Dimension in Sex. This is Herbert Armstrong's book. The Foundational Bulwark. This problem among teens, among young people, it's just one of many we see that trace back to the breakdown of the family, the upside-down family. Mr. Armstrong says, the foundational bulwark of any healthy, stable, and permanent society is the family unit. A solid family structure, it says, is the very foundation of a stable and enduring society. Satan targets family because he hates the God family. He hates the God family vision. And so he goes after the role of the father, the mother. He goes after marriages. And he goes after young people. He goes after our teens, our children. I mean, as I said the other day, you've got perverts marching in New York City, chanting, "We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children." And then all of these apologists in the media rushing to their defense. Now, they didn't really mean that. People were outraged by that. And the regime media says, you know, we've got to examine this phrase, this chant. And just so that you know, they didn't really mean their, or in coming after their children, your children, this is what they actually mean. Someone sent me some feedback. Well, I guess I don't have it in my notes. About what was happening in Seattle for the Pride March. I mentioned yesterday, or the day before, I mentioned Toronto and then New York City. In Seattle, you had these men, these biker men, trans men, that were just riding bikes through the parade, completely naked. Total breakdown in the family unit. Mr. Armstrong wrote, "A kingdom is a nation composed of people as well as the government of that nation. The kingdom of God is composed of the divine family of God. The one being we habitually think of as God, is the father of that family. Christ is a son of God, a member of that divine family, even as we may be. That divine family is the kingdom of God." It's the kingdom of God. Notice Ezekiel 16. God was a father to ancient Israel, or the one who became the Son of God, the one who became Jesus Christ. I guess you could say he was like a father to the ancient Israelites when he came in the flesh as the Son of God. As John 1 brings out, he came to declare the Father. But notice how he speaks of his children and the day of small beginnings for all of us. Spiritually speaking, Ezekiel 16, verse 3, it says, "And say, thus says the eternal God unto Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity is of the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. And as for your nativity, in the day you were born, your navel was not cut, neither were you washed in water to supple you. You were not salted at all, nor swaddled at all." I mean, basically, you were helpless. That's what God's conveying here. How much that little infant child needs health and safety and protection and food and shelter in a household with a father, with a mother. Verse 6 says, "And when I passed by you and saw you polluted in your own blood, I said unto you, when you were in your blood, live you. I said unto you, when you were in your blood, live." So you can apply this spiritually and see how that, I mean, anyone coming into God's church, if you haven't grown up in the church, chances are you probably came out of some lowly conditions when you were out there, when you were in the world. But when coming into the church, God begins to clean you up. God nurtures you. God treats you as a son, as a family member. You can see these lessons all through the New Testament as well. I don't have time to get to all the passages. But verse 8 says, "Now when I passed by you and I looked upon you, behold, your time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. Yea, I swear unto you and entered into a covenant with you, saith the Lord God, and you became mine." So the God of the Old Testament was Jesus Christ, and he was married to ancient Israel. And of course, there's a new covenant marriage between Christ and the church. This is brought out in Revelation 19 and Ephesians 5 and elsewhere. But Christ is saying, I was married to you. We were a family. We were a marriage, a family. Verse 9 says, "Then washed I you with water. Yes, I thoroughly washed away your blood from you, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you also with broidered work and shod you with badger skin, and I girded you about with fine linen, and I covered you with silk." So God, I mean, you can look at garments in Revelation 19 and see how that they're a type of God's righteousness. So God brings us along and cleans us up and adorns us in fine linen garments, representing righteousness. Verse 11 says, "I decked you also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon your hands, and a chain on your neck, and I put a jewel on your forehead, and earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown upon your head." I mean, I turned you into a royal wife. That's what the church is to become. We are to marry Jesus Christ, and then to build a family. A family of God. A royal wife, he says. That's what I've converted you into. This is the kind of transformation that we need to be talking about. Not the transformation that leads to destruction, that tears down the supreme law of the land, that just runs over, literally, statues and history, foundational teachings, foundational events that shape the nation. Here God says, "I've lifted you up out of nothing, and I've turned you into a royal bride for my son Jesus Christ. You were decked with gold and silver," verse 13 says, "and your raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. You did eat fine flour and honey and oil, and you were exceeding beautiful, and you did prosper into a kingdom." When God laid out the terms for ancient Israel, you can read about it in Exodus 19. "Look, I'll turn you into a kingdom of priests. You'll be the leading nation in the world." And of course, Israel said, "Yeah, we want that for sure." But they weren't faithful to their husband. They weren't it ended up being a broken family or marriage. And now God says, learn from this history. 1 Corinthians 10, "I'm married to you." Verse 14 says, "And your renown went forth among the heathen for your beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon you, saith the eternal God. Your renown went forth from among the heathen because of your beauty." But remember, I'm the one who made you beautiful. Don't ever forget that. And then verse 15 says, "But you did trust in your own beauty and played the harlot because of your renown, and you poured out your fornications on everyone that passed by." You trusted in your own beauty. The Laodiceans in these last days, the lukewarm Christians that have turned away from God, they became rich and increased with material goods, it says in Revelation 3. They trusted in their own beauty. There's only a few that have remained faithful. There's only a few that highly value even this union with Jesus Christ, the marriage to Christ of all things. In John's gospel, my father says, God's own Laodicean people are facing a catastrophe of even greater magnitude. What is wrong with their thinking? What's wrong with their thinking? It says the tragedy is Jesus Christ was transforming them into the most beautiful bride there ever will be throughout all eternity. There will be only one bride of Christ to rule the universe with him forever. That's what the church is called to become. It's a wonderful vision, and it's one that we've got to make vivid in our minds. It's all we have time for, unfortunately, but you're listening to The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show, and don't miss it tomorrow.